today I want to share a little bit. Last week I shared on how God likes to help. I think that's what Rube titled. He likes to help. So I want to share some things on how he helped us. And I thought it would be good to go back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, please. Remember that was the, what was it, the first baseball game in the big inning? Uh-huh. From the Power for Abundant Living class. Remember that wonderful class? But anyway, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was or became without form and void. And then what? Darkness was upon the face of the earth. In the movies, you would go, dun, dun, dun. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. And darkness was misery, destruction. It was not a good place. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, what did he say? Let there be light. And what was there? There was light. So light is wonderful, right? We all like it when it's light out and it's beautiful. It's nice. Today it's a little sunny and warm. That's a good thing. It's illumination. It can mean happiness and clearness. So in our lives, that's what we want. And that's what God wanted for us. So he said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he divided the light from the darkness. And that good means beautiful, bountiful. And here's some really heavy research. A good thing. So that light is wonderful. And God called the light day. And darkness, the darkness he called night. So not only did he give us light and wonderfulness, but he gave us a variety. Made it light and dark. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Made the firmament, and this divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And he called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So he gives us the water, he gives us the land, he gives us wonderful things. And this is, here's what I wanted to really read here. In verse 11, it says, and God called the dry, no wait, that's 10. I should read 11 if I said that. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed. And that's what he gave, put on this earth so that we could be taken care of. So all of his people could be taken care of. That grass means tender, tender herb. And then the word herb means to glisten. So he wanted that his people to have sustenance so that they could live wonderfully. So he said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree thereof, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So he made the earth so that we can live off of it, so that we can be sustained and be wonderful, be totally taken care of. And then if you go to 2 Samuel, chapter 17. And then verse 27 through 29, and it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, the Shobah, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, and the children of Ammon, and Marcher, the son of Amiel, Lodabar, and Barzillah. Not related to Godzilla. Let's go to 28. We brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse. Remember pulse? Mm-hmm. And honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kine. For David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. So without God doing that first thing in Genesis, that wouldn't have been able to happen. Huh. He hit the thing that he did for this earth so that we could live, kept going on and on, and it keeps going on till today. Look at Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. You all remember Daniel, right? And in verses 12 through 16, this is when the king wanted to give these four wonderful men for God his food, and Daniel and God had other plans than that. And it says, verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, they all had pimples and rickets. I don't know if that's a thing. At the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So that wouldn't have happened if God didn't set the earth in order the way he did with the seed-bearing fruit. And that's another great thing. When you plant stuff, you basically never have to buy seeds again, because God made it so you can just keep going and going, and they keep bearing seed. So that's a wonderful thing that God did for all of his people. If you go to Exodus chapter 1, there it is. And we are going to read verses 1 through 17. Everybody there? Mm-hmm. It says, now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. So you have Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. Remember these guys from the story of Joseph, right? Mm-hmm. They were Joseph's brother that sold them into slavery and did all these horrible things. Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, and then Joseph, he was in Egypt already. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, verses 1 through 7, everything is beautiful, right? It's all good. The land is full of these people. They're all getting taken care of. Joseph, even though, you know, he went through what he went through, really wonderful things came about. You know, he saved generations of people by listening to God. But now, verse 8, here's another one of those dun-dun-dun moments. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more than mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, which meant basically, let us treat them like crap and get rid of them. Lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, to really you know, mess with them, get rid of them. And they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, which wasn't a good thing. So that's not good. Verse 14, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service, when they made them serve, was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, now this is great, of which the name of one was Sifra, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives, what? Feared God. They respected God. They wanted to do what God wanted them to do. And did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And then you go on and you have the wonderful story of Moses and how he got taken care of, and a wonderful thing that happened. But because of those midwives listening to what God would have them to do, they were helped by God, and God had them do the right thing. And great, wonderful thing happened, came about of it. Let's go to John, chapter 11. Now, we read part of this last week, but I wanted to read it again. This is the story of, it's not a story, it really happened. So this is this record of Lazarus, not Lazarus. In verses 1 through 4, it says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And just so you know, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So this thing was going to happen because God wanted to be glorified. Now you can say, well, he did die. What's the deal? What's going on here? But God had other plans. So if we read, let's read verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. That's a good thing if Jesus loved you, right? When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, well, let's go to Judea again. And they're probably thinking, what are you stalling here for? Let's go. And your buddy, one of your closest friends, is sick. We got to go get him. Verse 8. And his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. And this is great. Verse 12, then his disciples said, his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. They saw a thing on the internet that said, if you're sick, it's good if you get a lot of sleep. You know, get some good rest. But verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of his rest in sleep. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, look, knuckleheads, he's dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then let's go down to verse 20. He's on his way there. Lazarus is dead. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. How'd you like that laid on you? But God had other things in store. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it. And he said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. If you go to, let's go down to verse 40. It said, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. And that's what I emphasized last week, that God hears, not only did he hear Jesus always, but he hears us always too, and he always wants to help. But because of the people which stand by, I said it that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. So that's what God did for those people. And, you know, the emphasis again, that he always hears us. He always wants to listen for when we're talking to him. There's the thing where he bends his ear towards us. He never wants to not hear us, which is a good thing. Let's go to Mark, chapter 2. Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And this is Jesus again, and it says, and again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. So there's going to be a Jesus house party. He was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. They wanted to hear what he had to say, just like God wants to hear what we have to say. They heard of all his wonderful doings. So, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. He spoke God's word to them. And they come unto him, we know this record here, bring one sick of a palsy which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, because of all these people that were wanting to hear and wanting to be healed by him, they uncovered the roof and they let him down, and they had broken it up, they let him down, and the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, he looked at the sick of the palsy and he saw his right metatarsal going into his left. No, he just said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And who forgives sins? God. You know, God, that's another thing that God wants to do for us. He wants to forgive our sins. Unless there's people in here that don't sin, then you don't need it. But no, we all need forgiveness of sins, and that's another wonderful thing that God. And that word forgiven, like sins be forgiven thee, is to send it forth, to leave, to get it out of there. And that's what God does. Now here's another one in 2 Kings. Chapter 6. And you've all heard this one before. And you know, I meant to bring a show and tell thing, but I forgot. Anyway, you'll see. 2 Kings chapter 6, and in verse 1. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, go. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So here you get the picture. He's got the axe, he's cutting, and the axe head falls into the water. And he borrowed the axe head from John, and John would not be happy about that. He didn't really borrow it from John, I hope you know that. But anyway, so this is the wonderfulness of it. Verse 6, "And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it thither, and the iron did swim." So from what I understand, it really didn't swim. But he took the stick and he shoved it in the water where God told him to put it and lifted up the axe head. And I have an axe head outside I was going to bring in, but I forgot. Sorry. But you have to settle for that mind picture for now. But that's the little, the littlest things that God wants to help us with. He wants to take care of for us. He's a great God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. There's nothing too small or too big for to ask for God's help. Matthew 7, and we'll start in verse 7. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open." So there's three things: ask, seek, and knock. What does it say? "It shall be open to unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened." So when we ask, and we seek, and we knock, God's not hiding. You know, he's not like, "Oh, wait, they're going to ask me for something else." Or, "Well, I hear them knocking, but I'm not doing it this time." He's always there for us. "Findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? No. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? I doubt it. And if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" A lot more. A lot. God can give a lot more than we could ever think of. So we do have this wonderful God that wants to always do for us and always wants to take care of us. And John, chapter 15. John 15, verse 7. John 15, and we'll start in verse 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it what? Shall be done unto you." There's another wonderful thing God wants to do for us. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be what?
Full.
So there's another thing that God wants us to help us with. He wants our joy to be full. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." So, you know, we have this great Lord that told us about his Father. We can learn about his Father through this every day. He's our Father, and he always wants to do for us. And then lastly here, in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, and in verse 28, This is one of my all-time favorite verses. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So God is a God that wants to help. He always wants to take care of us. And he wants all things to work together for his kids. And we're his kids. So all these things are to our benefit as we keep going to him and looking to him. Mm-hmm.